The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
To First Take, we are coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck here at Pier 17. A gorgeous day in New York City. Finally feeling a little bit like summer. All right, let's go. In week five, the Bills visit the Chiefs in a rematch of the 2020 AFC Championship. The Chiefs won that game 38-24 and advanced to the Super Bowl. Then in week seven, the Cardinals will host the Texans. DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt will face the Texans for the first time each in that one. And in week four in Foxborough, it's the Bucs taking on the Patriots. Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski will return to New England for the first time, facing off against Bill Belichick. Let's get it. On that note, we bring in the big guns, three-time Super Bowl champ, Teddy Bruschi. Good day, Teddy. How are we doing?
Molly, I'm doing great. Good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you with us. I'm starting with you, though, Chris. How can Bill Belichick catch Brady?
Well, I think the first thing that Bill Belichick has to do is make the playoffs, because we saw in the first year with life without Brady, he didn't get there,
yep.
And he had his first losing season since his first year in Foxborough. So that changing is a good start. But I think long term, it's about Bill Belichick being able to catch Don Shula for the most regular season, most wins of an NFL coach of all time. I think that's what cements his legacy as the greatest coach of all time, because right now a lot of people are questioning who was more responsible for the dynasty in New England the past 20 years. Is it Bill Belichick? Is it Tom Brady? And then Tom Brady going down to Tampa and doing what he did has got everybody looking at Bill Belichick with the side eye. But I will say this. I think Bill Belichick, not only can he get back to the playoffs, but he will get back to the playoffs based on what they did this offseason in free agency in the NFL draft. I think it's going to be a completely different year for the Patriots.
Tom Brady won the Super Bowl the first year he wasn't with Belichick. And that coincided with Belichick missing the playoffs, right? So what does Belichick have to do to catch Brady? Not to pass him, just to catch him. Does he need to win the Super Bowl? No. No, because I think we recognize, you look at the Bucs roster, they're absolutely loaded. And Brady left the cover bear at quarterback for Belichick before he walked out the door. And Cam was coming off a catastrophic injury and got COVID, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But didn't it seem, isn't it interesting how for so many years, it seemed like, man, the Patriots got lucky there. They got that call there. They made that play there. The other team fumbled there. Boy, they sure have luck on their side. You know, luck is the residue of design. And I always thought, well, because they have Belichick, he's better prepared than everyone. But didn't it seem like the Bucs got lucky last year in the playoffs, right? Rodgers didn't have his offensive tackles, and the coach took the ball out of his hands, and his receivers dropped some passes. And then Mahomes, the offensive line was totally destroyed before the game. He seemed to get lucky. Drew Brees couldn't make plays at the end of that game. Oh, wait a minute. Luck is the residue of design, but that luck followed Tom Brady and left Bill Belichick. So what does Belichick have to do this year? Win the Super Bowl? No, not necessarily. But to catch Brady, he's got to take the Patriots deeper into the playoffs than Brady takes the Bucs. It's not about Don Shula or anyone else. This is about Brady versus Belichick in the imaginations of the sporting public.
Well, first of all, I mean, luck is always involved in winning championships. The old saying, Max, is you need good coaches, good players, and good fortune. And that's their every championship run. Chris knows this. You're going to have one element, one game, one play where it's like, man, I'm glad that ball bounced our way, or I'm glad that player didn't play, whatever it may be. So luck's always there. Bill's going to need some luck to catch Tom, because I don't think he can. It just can't be done. I mean, Max, you said it. The first year Tom goes to a different team and wins the championship, it can't be matched. I mean, Tom showed it all last year in terms of who he can be, in terms of taking a team and then turning them and almost sculpting them into a winning organization. And it took a little while. I mean, we watched Tampa Bay throughout the course of the year, and I just remember that blow up on the sidelines of Brady. I think it was the Bear game when he wasn't just criticizing. He was basically going at his teammates because he felt like they could couldn't play to his level. So that type of frustration he had, but they figured it out eventually. And for Belichick to reach that, first of all, beat him. Beat Brady when he goes in there to Foxborough. But Chris, I'm with you too. This team has some building to go. I mean, do we talk about the wild card? Do we talk about just being competitive? How long does Cam Newton last? There's still a lot of questions. I think Bill's showing his managerial ability still in terms of building, still able to bring in the free agents. And there's a little bit of pressure, I think, on that week one game because on paper, wow, the whole on paper thing with the New England Patriots, you look great. But can you mold them all together and form a team very, very early to beat the Miami Dolphins week one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, by the way, if Belichick, let's say, gets to the conference championship and the Bucs stumble, which is possible, the NFC could field some very strong playoff teams. Then I think, Teddy, no one's going to say Belichick passed Brady because, as you mentioned, the Super Bowl. But I think then you can say, oh, look at that. That was a COVID year. It was like a funky situation. Brady chose a perfect spot. But then when things normalize, there's Belichick with a deep playoff run again with Cam Newton, because I don't think he's going to start a rookie quarterback, but we'll see, or a rookie quarterback. I think if he goes deeper than Brady, at least now the conversation's open again. Now the questions come up again. Now it's unsettled again because right now Brady's winning.
But there's always going to be the math and the ring count. I just want to add one thing. Tom Brady Sr. cold called a radio station today, 98.5, and he said he's salivating over this matchup. I love when things get personal. And Teddy, I want to bring this up to you because obviously you're friends with Tom. You know him very well beyond being teammates. I love this new Tom on social media. Can we please pull up what he posted about 9-9 can't come soon enough and America's team in quotes, obviously taking a shot at the Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys probably shouldn't be called America's team at this point.
Of course not.
Teddy, what do you have to say about that, though? Like, we're seeing all this personality from Tom in Tampa. I'm into it.
Yeah, just, you know, with talking with Tom, he's having fun down there. I mean, he has really taken to BA, to Bruce Arians and the culture down there, and also sort of made it himself. You're seeing a little bit more of him, the side that we saw him within the walls in the locker room. But I'm sure, Molly, the first question he probably asked himself when he saw, you know, when he would go up to Foxborough and play the Patriots, or do I want to score 30, 40, or 50 points? I mean, that's just what he thinks, and that's just how he's going to have that mentality going into that game.
I love it. I'm here for all of it. No question. This new Tom having fun, having a good time, and we get to see a little bit of it. All right, Teddy, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate you. Come back and join us soon.
Good to see you, Teddy.
Sure, guys. Great to be here. See you guys.
You know who always has rivalries with Boston? That would be Philly. Our ESPN cover story features Joel Embiid's expectations running high for the Sixers this postseason. So what role must Embiid play to bring a championship to Philly? Catch the story now on our ESPN digital platforms.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. In case you're just joining us, the 2021 NFL schedule is out, and it has been expanded here, and we've got some MVP odds for you. Mahomes has the best odds to win MVP. Aaron Rodgers pretty close. Rodgers is one of six players to ever win three MVPs. Max Kellerman, you are up first. Mm-hmm. Who's your MVP favorite?
Patrick Mahomes. If the question is football, the answer is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you know, like, he's the best player I've ever seen. Because the quarterback position, the best player I've ever seen is Lawrence Taylor. But you know, the quarterback position is so elevated in terms of importance now that if you could play it like Patrick Mahomes, it's a wrap. And the closest thing I've ever seen to Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, those two guys, to me, talent-wise, class by themselves. No one else can do it like them. No one. Not Brett Favre, not like Brady's great, but I'm talking about talent. None of those guys are those two guys. But if there's not a dime's worth of difference, my nickel goes to Patrick Mahomes. And he's got weapons everywhere he looks. And I still believe the only reason he didn't win the Super Bowl, again, was no offensive line. He was practicing on 56% of the snaps, and they never had the blitz. Right? So no one's ever open. He's always running for his life. And he still did things that I will never forget. That was, oh, my God, did he just do that? Guys, the first time he touched the ball as a starter, 50 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, AFC championship game, pre-snap penalty, gives Brady the ball, he never gets it back. Next year, he wins the Super Bowl. This past year, if he had a line, I thought he would have won the Super Bowl again, but he was in it again. Just get used to this every year. Every year, he's the MVP favorite. Every year, the Chiefs are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you worry about people getting fatigued about Pat Mahomes, too, kind of the same way we see with LeBron James and being in the MVP conversation in the NBA. But for me, the 2021 MVP is going to be Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen is a really special player, and you saw that talent come out last year when the Buffalo Bills as an organization went out and got him a weapon in Stephon Diggs. Well, guess what? This offseason, they went out and got him another weapon in Emmanuel Sanders. You're talking about a player a year ago that accounted for 45 touchdowns, 8 of those on the ground. Not only is Josh Allen the best quarterback in his division, but you can make the argument that he's the best running back on his team. That's how singular Josh Allen is as a talent. And also in the MVP conversation, baked into that is your player helping to account for your team's success. Last year, the Buffalo Bills were a Hail Mary in the desert away from being a 14-win team. So, yeah, Josh Allen's evolution, especially late last year, is what makes him the front runner for the MVP race going into 2021 for me.
Look, I like Josh Allen a lot. I think there are levels, as Meek Mill said, there are levels to this, right?
Same building, different view.
And Josh Allen is not like Baker Mayfield's a good quarterback. I think Josh Allen, better. Higher ceiling, just better. I think he is of a different kind, not just degree, but kind, of a lot of those mid-pack or even upper-middle quarterbacks. But there's a level above Josh Allen. Like, Josh Allen is not on Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers' level. Different kind of animal. The only dude I've seen in the NFL where I go, yeah, that maybe that guy is Justin Herbert. And I don't think Josh Allen quite has that kind of talent. He's good. He's really good, but MVP good?
MVP good, Max. And here's the thing, you're talking about Pat Mahomes. Let's not forget, they're pretty good supporting cast with Pat Mahomes. He's got the guy that's the fastest with the ball in his hands in the NFL in Tyreek Hill. He also has Travis Kelce. So while I do recognize how good Stephon Diggs is, we're not going to sit here and say that the Buffalo Bills' skill positions are even on par with what the Kansas City Chiefs have. So in terms of their team having to need them to do more in order to have success at the highest level, it's clearly Josh Allen has to do more for the Buffalo Bills to get to where they want to go than Pat Mahomes does for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Pat Mahomes in the Super Bowl called his own number, dropped like 150 steps, and threw a 150-yard touchdown pass. Like, what? Patrick, but he does things that Josh Allen just can't do. I'm not just saying just throw the ball down the field. Maybe Josh Allen's arm is as strong as anyone's, but I'm talking about arm talent. Off platform from any situation, parallel with the ground, running backwards, across the field, whatever you need. And it's not like Mahomes can't run the ball, too. We've seen Mahomes punching the ball under pressure, too. And by the way, was running for his life in the Super Bowl last year on a bum wheel. On a bum wheel. I'm saying Josh Allen's good, but all those weapons that Patrick Mahomes has means he's more likely to put up better numbers and be in more in MVP consideration.
Yeah, let me throw another name at you. By the way, the last non-quarterback to win the MVP, that would be Adrian Peterson back in 2012. It's been a minute. I want to talk about Dak Prescott winning MVP, guys. Don't make your jaws drop here, but we know what they were without him, right? They only had 6 wins. Do you think it's a possibility he could ever win?
I like Dak a lot. Like Josh Allen, I think Dak is in that next tier below the, oh my God, those dudes are from another planet talented guys. He's in the next tier below. I don't see him winning the MVP.
I think Dak has a chance to win the MVP, and if the Cowboys are going to come close to what Jerry Jones expects them to do this year, then he's going to have to be on that level in terms of the production. And let's not forget what we saw from Dak in the first five games of last year before he had that ankle injury. I mean, Dak was playing at an MVP level. The numbers that he put up were really gaudy. Now, it didn't necessarily translate to their team having the success, but you know from a production standpoint, it's there. And then couple that with the fact that that offensive line is supposed to come back healthy. I mean, how could you not like Dak Prescott to be in the MVP conversation?
Conversation? Yeah, I could see conversation because he has a ton of weapons, too. Yeah. A line is good. He has a ton of weapons. Maybe in the conversation, but winning the MVP. Why do you think Mahomes is favored every year? The Chiefs are favored every year. It's different, man. He's from Krypton. It's a different
Mac,
level.
They got to go out and play the games, though. You just can't assign that to him and say, well, yeah, Pat Mahomes is going to win it and nobody else has a shot at it.
Been doing it the last couple of years. Worked out pretty good so far. Although Rodgers did
just
take it last year.
Just sticking with the chalk. You picked LeBron a couple of years in a row, too. I'm sure that worked out for you as well.
Yeah, I used to pick Roy Jones, too. You know, it's
not that hard. We'll leave it here. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Let's stay in the association here. Despite missing stars LeBron James and Anthony Davis, the defending champion Lakers are keeping hope alive of trying to avoid that play-in tournament with a two-point win over the Rockets last night. Big Perk back here with us. Hello, hello. We'll get to him in just a second. I'll start with you here, Chris. Lakers winning without LeBron and AD. Is this something, nothing, or everything?
Molly, it's nothing. Huh. It's nothing. And here's the thing. As a Lakers fan, the most important thing to me over the course of the next 2 weeks was LeBron James and Anthony Davis's health. And then that seeding for the playoffs or trying to avoid the play-in tournament. And through yesterday's game, I was looking at it from the point standpoint of being excited that those guys could take care of the Houston Rockets without LeBron or AD, just so you could keep the potential, keep that door cracked open for them to avoid the play-in. And after the first quarter of that Lakers game and after the first quarter of that Blazers-Jazz game, everything was looking good. But then the Blazers slammed the door on that. So it feels like a fait accompli that the Lakers are going to be in that play-in tournament. So now it's about the health of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So I get the role players being important in terms of having to come along and carry some of the weight because LeBron and AD might not be 100%. But to me, the most important thing was those guys having an opportunity to get some rest before the real playoffs are going to start. And now they're not going to have that chance.
No, it's something. What are you talking about? Not that they didn't play yesterday. They got rest yesterday. They can get if it's a fait accompli, then they can get more rest. Look, the bottom line is LeBron and AD are going to need some help. And the silver lining, I mean, it got a little out of hand with all the injuries, but the silver lining to LeBron not playing is that, and AD not playing, was that you were going to have to get some extra dimensional play from some of these role players, right? Well, no LeBron, no Schroeder. No Caruso, you had Talen Horton Tucker. You know why the Lakers didn't make a trade deadline deal? Because everyone wanted THT. The Lakers like, nah, we want to hang on to this kid. You saw what he did, you know, in Summer League. What, 23 with 10 dimes? Running the point, right? How about Andre Drummond? 20 and 10, just like he normally does, right? No, they got play. Now, look, the Rockets are, it's like playing a team of backups. But okay. A guy like Montrezl Harrell is really valuable because when he's coming in against the second unit of the other team, he looks like an all-star because he's good. He can play. No, if you get this kind of extra-dimensional play from guys like by the way, Kuzma played well. From THT, Kuzma, Andre Drummond, those kind of guys, then the Lakers can come out of the West. It is something that you saw the Lakers win and also get the kind of contributions they got from the players I mentioned without LeBron or AD.
Max Kellerman, you are 100% right, okay? You are 100% right. And it's not just something, it's everything. Because for the simple fact, one, you got a chance to rest Anthony Davis. LeBron James got a chance to get another day of rest before he returned. But when we look back over the past month and a half, What have we been talking about? How the others on the Lakers have been struggling, right? And this was a game for them to get their confidence, get their swagger, get their feel for the game back, get their rhythm. And we saw that. We seen a guy like Marquise Morris who had been struggling. He was in double figures last night. We watched Kyle Kuzma in the clutch moments where he had to take big shots. He came through in the clutch, Ben McLemore. But most importantly, right, we saw Andre Drummond get his feel. 20-10. He had been playing awful over the last couple weeks. You want him to feel good about himself. But Talen Horton Tucker playing the point guard position was so key last night and so important, because we don't know when Dennis Schroeder is going to come back, and we don't know how he's going to come back and what type of shape he's going to be in because of the COVID protocol. So when LeBron James do get back, now you're able to trust Talen Horton Tucker because you're molding him into a position that he hasn't played. So with that being said, I think this win and this game was everything for the Lakers because the others were able to get better and find their rhythm.
Guys, I don't know how much Taylor Horton Tucker and all the other role players are going to factor in when it comes to LeBron and AD finding themselves in a game where it's win or go home. And that's the scenario that they're going to be facing next week with that play-in tournament. Like, I love the Lakers role players. I love what they showed us last night against that Rockets team. But the Rockets are a JV team compared to what they're going to face next week and moving forward into the postseason. So I'm still concerned about what this Lakers team is going to have to face in terms of them being able to navigate those play-in games. I obviously think they have the talent to be able to do so, but the health of LeBron James and Anthony Davis and what it's going to take from them to be able to get out of that and then get into a real series, I just felt like having more margin for error by being able to start the playoffs in an actual series versus having to deal with that play-in.
No, I think the play-in could help them,
though, Chris. Thing that was ideal.
Chris, I think the play-in could help them get those juices going, get that rhythm going, be it not in a playoff atmosphere. Play-in is the postseason. Be in a postseason game or two heading into a series not against the Clippers. I think that works for them. But I want to talk about Andre Drummond for a second. Perk, you hit on THT. You know, when they picked up Drummond, I thought it was a real big move, because when you looked at the Lakers roster, when you have a LeBron and an AD on the team, you probably don't have a lot of other starting caliber players. Lakers have a lot of rotation pieces, but I think Schroeder's the only guy I'd look at and say he's a starter. He's a solid starter in the league, right? Everyone else is a 6'7", 8" type guy. Drummond is not. Drummond's a starter. But if there's an issue with him playing with AD, if there's not enough time to figure that out, and AD is, let's say, 85%, and you don't want to play him 35, 40 minutes in these playing games, well, then Andre Drummond can suck up those minutes at the five, and he is not only a starting caliber player, he's an above-average starting five. And now you're going to put him against maybe the second unit of teams? He is going to eat. Andre Drummond's going to eat, and could be a big reason why the Lakers succeed in these playoffs. Whether he's playing side-by-side with AD, or maybe more importantly, if he's not.
Well, look, Chris, we all know how valuable superstars, and we know how valuable LeBron James and Anthony Davis are to the Los Angeles Lakers. But I do know this, okay? When you're trying to win a championship, and we witnessed this last year, role players win games for you, okay? Your superstars are going to be superstars, but we watched Caldwell Pope struggle all throughout the regular season, and he elevated his game in the postseason. You watched Kyle Kuzma elevate his game in the postseason. He struggled during the regular season. So with that being said, you got to have those guys where they have that level of confidence that when LeBron James is making plays or Anthony Davis is making plays for others, trust in the past, that they have trust that these guys are going to be able to knock down shots. These guys are going to be able to make plays like a Talen Horton Tucker. Andre Drummond getting the reps that he's going to be able to finish around the basket like they need him to and protect the paint. So when you're trying to win a championship, everybody talk about the superstars, but people forget how valuable the role players are. They forget how valuable Robert Horry was to the Los Angeles Lakers, the Houston Rockets, and the Spurs. They forget how valuable Derek Fisher was, big shots that he hit in playoff runs. They forget the value of the role players. Tayshaun Prince for the Detroit Pistons. Role players help you win games in the playoffs to help you win championships.
Yeah, and those role players can do a little more than just play a role against the team's second unit. We just saw it.
Yeah, no question. All right, Lakers got two games left. That would be the Pacers and the Pelicans. Big Perk, we'll talk to you tomorrow, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, Molly.
Carry on.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Get a load of this. We're going to have to bring this back next week when Stephen A. is here. My goodness. Big Jerry putting out a schedule release video with Post Malone making it rain there. But I can't even handle all of this. Max?
Yeah. It's just, I have to channel my inner Stephen A. now. It is nauseating how there are Cowboy fans everywhere, all across the country. I'm disappointed in Post Malone. When I was a kid, there were two out-of-market teams you could root for if your local team wasn't good. One was the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you had a soul, and if you didn't, it was the Dallas Cowboys. Nevertheless, I was a Steelers fan, as Stephen A. remains to this day, and whenever I see Cowboys fans, whether or not you're from Texas, it's very disappointing.
Max, that hater shade of blue just doesn't suit you, man. It doesn't bring out your eyes. I don't know why you hate this. I love this, Molly.
I
love seeing Post Malone and Jerry Jones and him putting the chain on him. I love everything about it. Jerry Jones, more so than any other owner in the National Football League, understands it's an entertainment product. How could you not be entertained by watching that?
He's perfect. He's like so WWE.
It's a little entertaining, I have to admit it.
Exactly.
It's extremely entertaining. All right, let's keep it rolling here. We'll talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They appear to have the second easiest strength of schedule, while the Pittsburgh Steelers have the most difficult, the other team you just mentioned, Max, in the NFL based off opponent win percentage from the previous season. Max, out of the Cowboys and Steelers, who finishes with the better record?
You know, it just occurred to me that if something can go wrong for the Cowboys, it will.
Oh, my goodness.
They're like an accident waiting to happen. Meantime, the Steelers, come hell or high water, one way or another, Mike Tomlin figures out a way to get it done. Even the great Bill Belichick had a season under 500 just now. Mike Tomlin never has. He's never been under 500. And as tough as the AFC North is, I just get the feeling when push comes to shove, the Steelers are going to be right there. I don't know about the Cowboys. Matter of fact, I think the Cowboys are the second or maybe the third best team in the NFC East, which is not a very good division.
Max, you're wrong about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last I checked, Ben Roethlisberger is still old. He's still a quarterback that can't push the ball down the field, which limits what their offense can do. And their offensive line is in shambles. Their left tackle and their left guard left in free agency, and Marquise Pouncey retired. So, that offensive line was what kept that team from being able to be better, especially when it came to production on the offensive end.
Well, at least they drafted a running back in the first round.
Yeah, but a running back, listen, what good is a running back if the offensive line can't open any holes? It doesn't make any sense. You're out of your mind.
I agree. Tomlin will figure it out. Tomlin will figure it out.
I got respect for Mike Tomlin.
He's
one of the best head coaches in the National Football League, but I don't trust that offensive line, and I don't trust their quarterback. But you know who I do trust? I trust Dak Prescott. I trust the Dallas Cowboys. That team is going to be there at the end. And the fact that in their schedule, they got four of their five division games to end the season, I love that fact because guess what? You're talking about a quarterback that's coming off of a major injury and offensive linemen that are trying to get healthy. So having more reps, having more games by the time you get late to the season, that's only going to benefit them. You're looking to play your best ball toward the end of the season, and the way the schedule sets up, having the most meaningful games at the end of the season, I think that bodes well for the Dallas Cowboys. They will have a better record than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I don't see it. The Cowboys have had plenty of chances. A couple years ago, Dak Prescott was healthy all year, had a really good year. Oh, look at Dak Prescott. They were in the worst division in recent memory until the NFC East the very next year. They went 8-8 and missed the playoffs. And by the way, well, they have a really talented linebacker now. They drafted Parsons. They had talented linebackers then who got exploited. They were over-anxious linebackers, basically, with all the athletic ability in the world. And they even had
it was a different coach, different coaching staff at that
point. Okay, but the defense was a problem, and the Cowboys went 8-8. So you mean to tell me, in a weak division, and last year they were worse. And by the way, they weren't great when Dak was playing last year. So, okay, I agree, they'll be better this year. So if they're better by a couple games, they're back to 8-8.
Did you see Jerry, their focus? You see how icy Jerry was in that promo video with Post Malone?
Does that look like somebody that's right? expecting to be a 500
yeah, do
club?
Do you think he's concerned about anything? He's ready to get that party bus going.
Actually, that's right. Jerry's not concerned enough about winning Super Bowl.
Oh, in
the history of American team sports, there's only one owner who ever could say, hey, I want to be entertaining. I want to be Showtime and the greatest dynasty and the greatest team. The late, great Dr. Jerry Buss, the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, greatest owner by far in the history of American team sports. By so far, it's embarrassing. No one else has been able to do it, least of all Jerry, who as soon as people figured out, oh, what'd he just do with the bonuses? Oh, I see, he prorated them. As soon as they figured that little trick out, because he ushered in the salary cap and then signed Deion Sanders, they haven't won since.
Big Jerry's ready to go. He's making it rain in the promo video. Time for more quick takes. Max Kellerman up first. Who wins the AFC North? It's loaded.
It is loaded, and I go back and forth. I'm going to go with the Browns because they had a great draft. They did first, like, four rounds. They drafted starters, it looks to me like, in the first four rounds, and they were already right there. I'm tempted to take the Ravens, but I'm going to take the Browns by a hair.
Okay. We'll leave it there. Canty, the NFC East, you played there. It's looking a little bit better this year. Who wins it?
I got the Dallas Cowboys. You're talking about a division that isn't the best. Everybody in that division has some serious question marks when it comes to quarterback play, except for the Dallas Cowboys. And then you look at that defense. That's the only big question mark that's on that team. Dan Quinn should be able to make a difference as their coordinator. You saw the difference he made in year one with that Atlanta Falcons defense. So I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys.
You are a traitor to Big Blue and incorrect. But anyways.
Max Kell, who wins the AFC East?
The AFC East is another nail biter. I think it's going to come down to the last week of the season. I believe in Tua Tagovailoa. I think that's a great defense. And it was, really seemed like they overperformed early. And then it was like, no, this is just an excellent defense. I think the offense is going to be much more dynamic with Tua in year two, one more year removed from an injury. And with the addition of Jalen Waddle, who even if you don't want to throw the ball down the field, can get you chunk yards on a 5 or 8 yard pass. I think the Dolphins in a division that could go to one of three teams, I think Miami takes it.
Max, have you seen the Dolphins schedule?
Yeah.
It's absolutely brutal. The first 6 weeks. I mean, you're talking about on the road against New England, on the road against the Raiders, on the road against the Bucs, not to mention home dates against the Bills and the Colts, two really, really good teams. And then, of course, you got to go to London all the way across the pond to play the Jags. And you don't have your bye week until week 14.
Yeah. So if they go three and three in the first six games, it could easily happen.
It's an absolutely brutal schedule to start. And for a quarterback that has a lot of question marks, I don't know if that's what you want to set it yourself for a success. I would still go with the Buffalo Bills as the class of the AFC East. And I think
you better your MVP.
They're a cut above the New England Patriots.
Once the playoffs start, I agree. If you say, who do I think is going to make a deeper playoff run, but if they both make it, the Finns or the Bills, I like the Bills because Josh Allen gives you a premium. For the same reason, but regular season record, people are sleeping on this Miami team. You are sleeping on this Miami team, just like you're sleeping on the Giants, with whom you won a Super Bowl.
Miami.
Because you're talking about the Bills potentially being a 14-win team last year if you didn't have that Hail Mary that happened against the Arizona Cardinals. Yep. And Josh Allen is clearly taking that next step as a quarterback. Like, in terms of quarterback play, he's the guy that you trust the most in that division. There's no question about it.
He went from a dude who was an interception to a touchdown, even a little less, year one, to 2-1, year two. To 3-1 year three. In other words, year two is the development year for quarterbacks. So if Josh Allen, he's a big arm, he's a talented guy, but
Tua Tagovailoa was considered, wait, is this guy going to be the next Drew Brees? Like, he was considered a potential superstar. And I don't think he's disqualified himself for that year one coming off the injury. I don't think he's disqualified. So Tua can at least be twice as good as he was, as Josh Allen was year two?
I'm not going to say Tua can't be better, but we can't sit here and compare what Tua is bringing to the table from a physical trait standpoint to what Josh Allen has. And not to mention, the Buffalo Bills did add to their skill positions by getting Emmanuel Sanders to
Who's
go
Jalen
along.
Jalen Waddle,
I'm not saying that Jalen Waddle is chopped liver, but we don't know what Jalen Waddle is. He's still a question mark, just like his quarterback. With the Buffalo Bills, there is no question about that offense. It was the second-ranked offense and one of the best passing attacks in the National Football League. And to take it a step further, Max, against top 10 passing defenses, you know what Josh Allen did in the seven games he played him? He shredded them. He was 6-1, and he had 17 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions. The dude is a beast, and he's only getting better.
By the way, Louis Riddick was on here saying Patriots are not missing the playoffs. So I'm saying those are three legit playoff contenders in that division.
Yeah, AFC East, a real deal as well. A lot of parity. Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill has Kansas City as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. You know, now that the schedule's out, you know we're going to talk Super Bowl. We're going to go right there. Followed by Tampa Bay and Buffalo, the last team to repeat as Super Bowl champs. Oh, that would be Tom Brady, the 03-04 Patriots. Chris Canty, Super Bowl. Talk to me. Who you got?
Molly, I'm going path of least resistance. And I'm going with the Bills and the Bucks. I'm going with those two teams meeting in the Super Bowl with the Bucks taking it. And here's why.
You're into these Bills.
I am into these Bills. I'm buying the hype. I mean, the Bills have the second easiest strength of schedule of any playoff team behind, guess who? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So when you start to look at it, I think that the Bills will be tested in their division, but talent-wise, they're better than those other two teams that Max seems to love so much in the New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. And with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we've said it ad nauseum. They're returning all of their starters, all 22. It's never happened before in the history of Super Bowl winners. And I get that we've only had 8 teams repeat as Super Bowl champions, but Tom Brady was a part of one of those teams. He's got the formula for success. He won't let that Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room get complacent and rest on their laurels. So I like those two teams matching up in the Super Bowl with the Bucks best in the Bills to go back to back.
Bills Mafia breaking tables as we speak. They're so excited right now listening to you preach.
I'm never taking against the Chiefs in the AFC until further notice. I say it every year. That's the easiest pick, the Chiefs. Okay. Patrick Mahomes is a different kind of animal from Josh Allen. Josh Allen is the best of the next tier of young quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes is the best of anyone who's ever put on a uniform. It is a difference, right? I like the Chiefs. Now, and they also, remember, when they lost to Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, they totally revamped the defense. The defense was okay, but they came back the next year, revamped it. Then they lost to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, offensive line problems. They totally revamped it, totally. And they locked it down, especially on the left side. Now in the NFC, I'm banking on Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay.
Okay.
I'm banking on them giving him the bag and him being all in. Not grudgingly, but like, okay, I have a say here. They publicly made amends. I got the contract. Let's go get him. And this Packers team is loaded. They're excellent both sides of the ball. And look at LaFleur year one. Rodgers didn't really know the system yet. NFC Championship game, 13 wins. Mm. Next year, Rodgers throws 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and this time with real chances to win the NFC Championship. I think next year, Rodgers comes for the first time in a long time feeling good about his situation, looking for revenge in the NFC Championship game. I think the Packers get to the Super Bowl and lose to the Chiefs.
Wow, that's a lot of confidence in a team that doesn't know whether their quarterback is going to show up for training camp or not.
If Aaron Rodgers isn't in town, I'm changing this pick. I'm
Matt
thinking he's going to be
there. Rodgers in the Super Bowl in Green Bay. I like it. And you got Tampa Bay back there. Interesting, interesting, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about it? Max, any thoughts on the schedule?
What does occur to me is, like, the Thanksgiving Day schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that there are certain teams that have to be on the Thanksgiving Day schedule.
Yeah.
Could you make
Let me
it
pull
more,
it up. I already know what it
could,
is.
Could you make it more interesting matchups? Like Thanksgiving, you know what I'm like? It's such a great day for football.
It's my favorite
holiday.
But we're
saddled with the Lions. Oh. So can we make the matchups more interesting? Christmas gives you some bangers. But why does Thanksgiving have to be this?
I don't know. It didn't used to be that way, Max. You know, I used to play for the Cowboys. Those Thanksgiving games were always awesome. But, yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of sizzle for Bills, Saints, or for Bears, Lions. I just don't
think
that.
This is
not true. Bears and Lions will be pretty interesting. We're going to have two new quarterbacks.
Okay. By the time that rolls around, if the rookie is starting, I'm not expecting the Bears to be a team people are fearing. And the Lions with Jared Goff, this was the Lions with Matt Stafford going nowhere. Matt Stafford so much better than Jared Goff that they had to trade Goff plus two firsts and a third. And now they got Jared Goff. I'm not expecting big things
from Detroit.
And
Raiders at Cowboys, those are two good teams.
Yeah, that'll be.
Wait, the Raiders are a good team? Since when? And the Cowboys are a good team? Since when? Since when are these good teams? The Cowboys haven't had a winning season in 3 years. And by the way, when was the last time the Raiders had a winning season?
They didn't have their quarterback. Well, Bill Saints could have been good. We don't know.
Yes.
We don't know how the Saints.
True.
They're still a very good team. Obviously, there's questions at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But
that could be a solid matchup. Listen.
You like Taysom.
I do. If he's the quarterback, we'll see.
Yeah.
I think that, like, as is often the case with a schedule, let's see how it shakes out. Our feeling now and our feeling then might be different. But my feeling now is I don't think the Saints are going to contend for a Super Bowl without a legitimate star starting quarterback.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, and so the Bills are better than they are. I'm not, like, eagerly anti. Thanksgiving Day schedule needs to get the – they need to – NFL needs to get their game
just
up on Thanksgiving.
Three things I love about the NFL schedule. First of all, the kickoff game between the Cowboys and the Bucks. That's going to be awesome. And you saw how much Tom Brady's looking forward to it with his social media. I love the fact that in week four – that Tom Brady has an opportunity mm-hmm. to stick it to his old team. And, pass Drew Brees for the all-time passing yards record. So I think that's pretty awesome as well. And with so much parity in the NFC East, having seven of those 12 divisional games come down to the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season, I think that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you know what I'm waiting for? Max on television tonight, talk to me. What is happening?
Oh, yeah. 9:30 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, 9:30 Eastern.
I know people are missing Stephen A. on the air.
Yeah.
He has some well-earned vacation time before the playoffs ramp up in the NBA. 9:30 Eastern, it's called Let's Be Real on a competing network. Robert Smigel, you know, Triumph the Comic Insult Dog?
Yeah.
Robert Smigel, who's a comic genius, Mom, wrote a sketch just for me in which I'm arguing, debating with a Stephen A. puppet.
Oh, my goodness.
And Shaq puppet may make an appearance, but it's worth your time.
And what is this picture about? I need to pull something up quickly here while we have a little bit of time.
Well, I don't want to give too much away.
How did you guys do Stephen A. like that?
That appears to be me speaking at someone's funeral. And since it's Stephen A. there, I can only surmise maybe I finally finished him off in a debate. Who knows? You're just going to have to tune in 9:30 p.m. to find out.
That ain't right. That ain't right.
That ain't right.
That ain't right, Max.
Levels.
That ain't right.
Max, unbelievable.
Stephen A. puppet.
Yeah, I know it's a Stephen A. puppet, but that picture, that was so wrong.
Well, listen, in reality, what people understand is when I sit here and debate whoever's on the other side, there's a funeral every day.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It is a beautiful mind.
So much disrespect coming from you, Max.
No, I say that respectfully. See,
can you say that respectfully?
As long as you say I say this with respect, it doesn't, then you can say whatever you want.
No,
you can't say it with all due respect.
No, they're like the king of backhanded compliments. You always know when you get a compliment on this show, you're being set up.
I say this with respect. I expect more from the both of you tomorrow. But respectfully.
So wrong on so many levels. I just come here and do my job every day and, you know, try to keep things calm. Goodbye, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a wonderful Friday Eve.